Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
The Rev, come on. Good morning. Come on, this is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Somebody knows the Bible up in here. Wow, it's exciting. I mean, y'all appreciate Pastor Daniel and Teresa so much. Come on. Just so blessed. I'm so grateful for what they've invested in my life over the past long time. They watched me grow from a boy to a man. No. So many of you know we just had another baby. Baby Everett was born on the 10th of February. So he's 3 weeks or something like that. 3 weeks old, maybe? Yeah, February 10th. It was 2:10 for Ephesians 2:10. God created him as a masterpiece, his workmanship, so he could do good works that God prepared beforehand. Come on, that's my son right there. His name's Everett Koa Hopkins. Everett means strong like a wild boar. And Koa is a Hawaiian name. It's a tree, but it also means brave. So his name is strong and brave. Come on. And I don't know if you guys, I love etymology. So it's the study of where the root words and where they come from. And Hopkins is our last name. And Hopkins comes from Hob, which is the hop heart. And Hob comes from Robert. And Robert means a bright, shining, famous one. And Ken is like family, you know. And so our last name means we're a relative of a bright, shining, famous one. Come on, how many of you know Jesus is my older brother? Come on. That's awesome right there. Now that's enough about me, how awesome we are. I mean, you know, all right. But my wife's at home, and you could pray for us. And you know, going from one to two is a little crazy. And that's all I could really say about that. I mean, some of y'all are like, "Well, I got 5 to 6. How about that, bro?" And I'm like, "Well, to each his own. One man was given one talent. One was given two. One was given 5. I'm just on the 2 talent right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm just working my way into learning how to have 2 kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Lord, have mercy." So please pray for me. I mean, you can pray for Rochelle. She's good. But pray for me, you know. It's a little different lately. But actually, you can pray. Hunter was actually, he caught some kind of bug or something. So he was up last night and just sick and some things. So you can be praying for our family. And how many know, when you begin to move into what God has for you, the enemy is going to try to throw anything he can to get you to go backwards. But I read in the scripture that if God's for me, who can be against me? And I know that there's actually more going for me than there is coming against me. And that's true for you today. Elisha, the prophet, was up on the mountainside and this army was coming against him and his servant was shaking in his boots going like, "Oh, man of God, what shall we do?" And he's just like, "Lord, open his eyes so he can see." And bam, the whole hillside was full of chariots and angels of fire all around him. And he said, "There's more with us than there are with them." Come on, touch your neighbor and say, "There's more going for you than coming against you." Yep, it's true today. It is so true today. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you turn your Bible to Mark chapter 10. And we're gonna read beginning in verse 46 in just a moment here. I'm excited to share the word. I think Pastor Teresa already shared. Pastor Daniel is in Michigan ministering. And you know he's not just preaching. Somebody's getting healed. Somebody's getting set free. Even at the preaching of the word, people get healed and set free. Come on. And so we just bless Pastor Daniel where he's at. And man, it's just been so exciting to be able to be traveling and to see what God's doing in other places. You know, because here's the cool part is that God's the same God in every place that you go to. And God's moving so powerfully. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago. Actually, this is kind of funny. There's a church in Marietta that I was helping out. They have a thing called Seek Week, and it's just Monday through Friday. They just go hard after the Lord and really be intentional in the beginning of the year to set the tone for the rest of the year. And one particular testimony just stood out to me. It was so powerful. The Michael Koulianos, if you know who he is, he's a really powerful minister. He was there speaking on a Tuesday night. The presence of God came so strong. I was leading worship that night, so that's why I was there. And God came at the end so powerfully. This girl was just so tormented by self-hatred and suicide and all these types of things that you could see visibly that the devil was really fighting her really hard to you know, we're trying to like, you let go of her, and the devil's fighting really hard. And so I was trying to help some of the people pray. And then after that, I just couldn't help. I just jumped off the platform and I said, hey, let's pray. And I said, look at me and let's look. And she made eye contact with me, and we begin to release the Father's love. How many of you know that perfect love drives out fear? And as we began to just pray for her, she began to accept that she was unconditionally loved by God. I'm telling you, all the demonic torment that she was experiencing completely left her. She could totally like come back to herself again. Then she was filled with the Holy Spirit, got the gift of speaking in tongues right there in the moment. She was maybe 19 years old. Come on, that's like her whole entire future ahead of her. Now she's free from self-hatred and suicide. Come on, that's what Jesus does. And we've been seeing stuff like this all over the place, seeing people getting healed, seeing people get set free, and even just the power of the spoken word of God. How many of you know that Jesus actually cast out the demons with just a word? That's how, because you know why that happens? Because Father God, his word is life, and it brings hope, and it brings freedom. And so when dad just starts talking to people, all the other stuff that's not aligned with that just gets pushed out automatically. Come on. You don't even have to, like this girl, we didn't have to go like, get out of the name of Jesus. And take a huge bucket of oil and pour it on her head, you know, and baptize her like 7 times. She just got loved by God, and the devil just left her. That's awesome, yeah? Come on. And I believe this morning, that was a roundabout way that I really believe that God wants to take limits off of our lives this morning. The message is called Permission Granted. And some of us didn't know it, but God actually already gave us permission to pursue our dreams. God already gave us permission, but sometimes we're blinded to what is already there. And all I get to do as a minister is just pull up the blinds and go like, oh, that was there the whole time. And that's all I get to do. I just get to reveal that God is already for you, and God has already taken limits off. You just get to see it. Come on. And I believe that this morning God wants to take the limits off of how you approach him and how you approach life. Because what happens is many times there's circumstances, tragedies, life, the way that we're brought up, and we don't even realize it, but it's put a lens on the way we see life, and we don't even see it, but we're actually living a limited lifestyle because of the way that we were growing up. So here's my dad's story here. We like the movies, the movie series Cars, Disney's Cars series. Come on. We have 1, 2, and 3 chilling in there, and we watch them on repeat all the time because Hunter is all about Lightning McQueen. And so we're watching these series, and if you haven't seen Cars number 3, here's a spoiler alert for you. I'm going to ruin the whole movie for you. But Cruz Ramirez is so Lightning McQueen, I got to give you context now. Lightning McQueen is awesome, all right? He is the top racer. He's always winning. He's champion. He got humbled in Cars number 1, if you've seen that one. Cars number 2, you know, he got to travel, itinerant ministry. That was my thing. And then Cars number 3, he's learning how to be a father, and he's learning how to pass on his legacy. So he loses his race in the beginning of the movie, and he's trying to find himself. You know, some people could call it a midlife crisis. I don't know, but he's not as fast as he used to be, and he couldn't win the race. And so there's this other racer, or actually they called her a trainer, named Cruz Ramirez. Everyone said Cruz, and she was teaching him how she was training him basically because he needed to beat Jackson Storm, because Jackson Storm is the one who won him. Now I know it looks like I've been immersed in Dadville for a long time. It's because I have. And so that's why I know all the names to all the characters in Cars. And so Lightning McQueen lost to Jackson Storm. He's having a midlife crisis about it because he always won, and now he lost. He doesn't know what to do with his life, so he goes into training. His sponsor, Rust Ease, has a training facility, and Cruz Ramirez is teaching him. And so, okay, you get the context here? You're like, oh, man, I got the whole movie here. And so what happens is Cruz is training him, and not too long after that, Lightning McQueen finds out that Cruz actually doesn't even, she's never actually raced, she's only trained. And so he ends up like just actually training her in the midst of her supposed to be training him. And so this whole thing happens, but everyone keeps repeating over her entire life, you're not a real racer, you're just a trainer. No, you're not a real racer, you're just a trainer. And it's so ingrained in her mind that even when opportunity presents itself for her to actually go hard and go into it, she didn't see it. And so Lightning McQueen, being the awesome dad that he's turning into, he's in this race and he realizes he can't do this. How many know it's time to pass the baton sometimes when you can't do it yourself? It's time to pass it on to the next generation. Give them everything that you got so they can go further than you went. And so this is what Lightning does. He's in the race and he realizes, I can't do this. And he hears over the intercom, he hears that she keeps hearing, one of the owners of the company says, no, what are you doing here? You're not a racer. You're just a trainer. She drives away all sad, all down, because she started believing something that wasn't true about herself. When opportunity was right there, she was just driving right away. How many of y'all know, this is crazy, I'm bringing cars into a deep moment. This is wild. But how many of you know, if you hear the same thing over and over, if you live through the circumstance over and over, before long, you actually believe it. And even when opportunity presents itself, you're blind to see it. And so Lightning McQueen catches wind, and he's like, you know what we got to do? We bring her back here right now. He actually gets into the little pit area, and he says, nope, I'm sending her in. They paint his number on her car, so that way it's legal, the whole deal. And she ends up winning the entire race. But here's the crazy part. The voice did not stop. The voice didn't stop tormenting. She's in the middle of the race. The Jackson Storm, the enemy of the story, he starts saying, what are you doing here? We all know that you're not really a racer. You're just wearing this costume just so you can get along, da da da. He starts talking trash. And I love this. It's my favorite part in the whole movie. I think I shed a few tears in this. Don't tell anybody. Don't post that online or anything. But I think I cried in all three, but don't worry about it. We've been also watching This Is Us a lot, so I'm a little emotional. And so the Jackson Storm starts talking trash to Cruz, and she starts slowing down. She's like, oh, because guess what? Whenever you listen to the liar, you get steal, kill, and destroy as your fruit. And she starts slowing down. She starts slowing down and going like, oh. And Lightning McQueen, over the little earpiece that they have, he says, do you see what just happened? And she's like, yeah, he got in my head. He got in my head. And he's like, no, you got into his head. He would not be telling you this stuff unless you got into his head, unless you were a threat to his victory. Come on. And I'm telling you, there's not just voices, but there's voices on repeat coming at you guys, coming at my life. Because it's trying to get us to approach our life with limitations. It's trying to get us to approach our destiny with limitations, saying, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. But how many of y'all know, when you have the voice of God, Lightning McQueen, come on, he's speaking in, and he said, no, you got it to his head. Come on, you can do this thing. And she totally busted through and won the entire race, and you're crying tears of joy. You know, you're high-fiving each other. Me and Hunter are high-fiving each other. Like, she won! Ah! And why am I saying this? Because I really believe that there's some of us in the room today, and because I know we're in a series and different things are going on, but God put this word on my heart that there is limitations and in regards to us approaching God, in regards to us approaching our destiny. That we've heard so much stuff, we've gone through so much stuff in life, and what it happens is it actually has become our identity. It's actually become who we are. Sometimes our tragedy becomes our identity, and we didn't even realize it, but we're not even just wearing our emotions on our sleeve. We've actually become our tragedy, and we tell everybody about what's going on. We don't even tell, we meditate on it. We think about it all the time, and what happens is we didn't realize it, but it's actually set a bar, it's set a lid on how far you can go with God and how far you can go with your destiny. But how many of y'all know God wants to bust the lid off this morning? Come on. And so this is what is happening here in this story in Mark 10, verse 46. It says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, come on, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. I love that. It's the cry that makes Jesus stand still. And he commanded him to be called. Then they came to the blind man and said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Come on, this is the question God's asking you today. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni," or it just means like a high master, "that I may receive my sight." And so Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Everyone say, boom. So there's times in life. Here's what I see in this story. Blind Bartimaeus. How many of you know that when the Bible's calling you blind Bartimaeus, that's when you know you took blind as your identity. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're still calling him blind Bartimaeus, and homeboy is seeing more than we're seeing today. You know what I mean? Like, he took his tragedy as his identity. And so not only that, you can see that even other people were trying to hold him down. But here's what I want you to see out of this. Jesus hears his cry the first time, but he keeps on walking. Has anyone ever felt like this? You're crying out to God, but it feels like Jesus keeps on walking. And here's what I want you to know. Jesus, and multiple times in the New Testament, he actually keeps on walking. He not only in this story, but you see it when the story is he's walking on the water. And the Bible said, as he was about to go near their boat, the Bible said he's acting as if he was going to pass them by. You can read this in Mark chapter 6. Later on in Luke 24, you can read another story where two disciples are walking on the road. And the Bible said that he would have acted as if he would keep going unless they would have invited him in. There's times, the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't notice her until she touched him. There's times in life where you're going to feel like, and it actually is going to be happening, where Jesus is going to act like he's going to pass you by. Oh, come on, somebody. What's up? Are you with me today? Jesus is going to, I'm telling you, he's going to act like he's going to pass you by. And what is he doing? He's not being harsh. He's not being like, you know, selective on the ones that he really wants to bless. He's working a muscle inside of you called initiative. Come on, y'all hear what I said this morning. Come on. Y'all need to get some more coffee. Come on. Better buzz down the street. He's working a muscle in you called initiative. Because here's the deal. Jesus doesn't want to do everything for you. He actually doesn't want to do everything for you, and he doesn't want to control you. Isn't that awesome? Like, you have a Lord that doesn't want to just control you and turn you into a robot. Obedience is way better when it's out of a heart of God, I love you, not a God, I have to. Jesus wants to work a muscle in your life called initiative. Everyone say initiative. He wants you to take the first step. Now, I'm not even saying that God is helping those who help themselves. I'm not saying that because sometimes God does sovereign things and we have no control. And I like those times. How many of y'all like those times when you didn't do anything and God did it all? I remember I was at my house one time and this dude was working there. And I wanted to share the gospel with him, but it was a while ago. And I didn't work my evangelism muscle just yet. I didn't hang around with Pastor Teresa too much back then. I didn't know her too well back then. So I wanted to share the gospel with them, but how many of y'all know it's awesome when they come to you and say, "Hey, man, I you go to church, don't you?" And I'm like, "Hallelujah." And I got to just take a whole moment and start preaching the gospel to this dude. It's awesome. It's cool when God brings people to you. People used to knock on my door. "Hey, you know, I want to sell these candy bars to you. We're trying to raise money to go to Six Flags, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Oh, that's so cool. I'll buy one of those candy bars, but let me tell you about Jesus first." And I preach the gospel to them. They accept Jesus. I'm like, "All right, let me get you that candy bar." And they get saved right there. It's awesome when people come to you. Come on. But it's another muscle that God wants to work in your life, and it's called initiative. He wants you to do something with what you have. I feel like sometimes we overemphasize the sovereignty of God, but God is actually saying, "I want you to take a step. And even though you cried out, I'm going to actually ignore you the first time." Come on, somebody. I'm not saying God don't like you. I'm just saying he's working some muscles in you. Come on. And even there's another woman, the Syrophoenician woman. She's a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. She wasn't Jewish. And she's crying out. Her daughter is demon-possessed. And she comes, falls on her face before Jesus. "Lord, have mercy. My daughter is suffering terribly." And he says, "I can't do it. Access denied." Oh, come on. Has anyone ever felt like this with God? You're crying out to God, and he hasn't answered you at all. And he's testing your hunger. He wants to see how hungry you really are. But I'm telling you, he's working a muscle called initiative. And there's times in our lives where we're going to feel like Jesus is passing us by. Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." And it's not popular theology to say that God's going to pass you by because we want to talk about a good daddy and he snuggles and kittens and hugs and warm things. But at the end of the day, Jesus is the Word made flesh, and he's going to show us who God really is. And God, as a good dad, is actually going to walk past you in the midst of your tragedy so that you can take initiative and not be a victim to what you're going through. God wants to break the victim mentality off of our lives. God doesn't want us to sit there on the roadside begging, well, I'm blind and I'm Bartimaeus, and I'm going to sit here for centuries after. They're all going to know me as blind Bartimaeus. Oh, hey, what's up, man? Oh, BB. Yeah, what's that stand for? Blind Bart. You know, it's his whole life. And if we're not careful, we'll sit there and identify so much with it, and we'll act like everyone's got to give us a handout when God's trying to hand us up and pull us up out of our circumstance. We're waiting for everyone else to help me, everyone else to do something for me. God, you have to do something. And he's saying, no, you have to do something. Because if you want this victory and if you want this freedom to last, it's not going to be my sovereign hand doing all the work. It's going to be you standing up and taking initiative for yourself and actually having value for yourself. Come on, people who value themselves take care of themselves.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Are you with me up in this Presbyterian church this morning? God wants you to take initiative. He doesn't want to do everything for you because he wants you to be empowered to take the reins of your life back and not be subject to what you've gone through. We look in the mirror and say, I can't, and I don't have, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not this enough, and all this stuff. And God's saying, no, you are, but you have to take the first step in order to realize it and to experience it. Because if you sit in the same pity party all day long, come on, somebody. You know, sometimes we're like, man, we're in our pity party, and we're sending invitations on Facebook for everybody to come accept our invite. You know what I mean? And we're like, let's go talk about our problems together. Let's cry together, you know? And because misery loves company. And you know, the reality is sometimes we just need a shoulder to cry on, and that's awesome. But we cannot stay there. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. It's the power to get up out of the victim mentality and say, you know what? I've gone through this and I cannot control what's happened to me, but I can control how I respond to this situation. And God is going to do this in our lives, and he will set you up in ways that you think it's the devil coming at you. But I'm telling you, it's God just walking by you saying, are you going to get up? You want to get up? I'm blind. I can't see. I don't even know. All I have is my hearing. I can't even see where Jesus, just get up and start moving. Did you know this is Matthew 21:14? It's not going to come up on the screen, but I love this verse. It says, the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple and he healed them. Question, how do blind people and lame people make it to Jesus? It's one of those verses you just kind of breeze by. Oh, that's so sweet. Jesus does miracles. Blind people can see again and lame people can walk. If you don't have legs, how the heck are you going to walk to Jesus? And if you don't have eyes, how are you going to get to Jesus? Because your inconvenience, I'm telling you, your need for Jesus has to be greater than your inconvenience. Your desire and value for yourself based on his worth, his voice to you telling you how valuable, has to be stronger than your tragedy. You can't identify with it so much that you stay in the same deal and say like, well, Jesus is over there and I don't have legs. Well, scoot your way over to him. You know what I'm saying? Do whatever you can do. That's what the Bible said. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and they were healed. How long are we going to make excuses? Come on. And here's the deal. The reason why Jesus does this is because he's working your initiative. And it's actually because he values you. And he wants you to value yourself too. It's not enough for me just to know that God loves me and values me. I have to believe it for myself. That I'm valuable and that I'm loved. And if I don't, then I stay in the pit. If I believe I'm valuable, then I go get a job. You with me?
Yeah.
I go and do something with my life.
Yeah.
And so the Bible says that he cried out all the more. And he cried out, Son of David, have mercy. After the first time, they're like, shut up. You know, that's what religion is trying to tell you to do. You know, you're like, you're trying to go after God. And religion's like, shut it up. At the right time, he will come. You know, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, he's the God who was and is to come. But sometimes we like try to push him into the, he's the one who is to come, but he's the one who is. I need a God right now, not a one who's coming later. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's awesome. He's coming back, but I need the God who is right now. You know what I mean? And so they said, shut up. But he's like, nope, he's right here. I'm going to seek the Lord while he may be found. I can see him right now. I'm going to go after him. And he cried out even more. And the Bible said, they said, okay. So it's funny how they changed their mind once Jesus said, go get him. You know, they're like, shut up. No. Oh, you like, you, oh, okay, yeah, come on, man, yeah, he's all, you know, like, that's what the voice of Jesus does to religion. Religion's trying to hold you down, and Jesus is like, no, I like him. Did you know that Bartimaeus, his name actually means highly prized? He's sitting by the roadside, didn't know how valuable he was, but the voice of Jesus called him up. And he pulls him up, and the Bible says he, in verse 50, Mark 10, verse 50, he threw off his garment and came to Jesus. This is historical context. When you were blind in that day, people would know that you were a legitimate beggar. They would give you a garment that was government issued as a certain color. So they would know that you're not cheating people out of money, but you were actually a legitimate beggar. Come on, and here's the deal. When your identity becomes your tragedy, it hinders you from your destiny. And so the dude had something given to him that identified him with his tragedy. He had a little blanket, you know, his little security blanket, and he was just holding on to it. And this is where they would come, and they would know that he's a legitimate beggar. But help me all know that you got to throw some stuff off if you're going to run to Christ. I'm telling you, God's asking us to let go of our victim mentality. He's asking us to let go of the stuff that's happened to us and to let go of our past so we can embrace our future. Many times we're looking in the rearview mirror while we're driving forward. And how many of y'all know that's a dangerous way to drive? Come on. And God is asking us, whatever you've gone through in life, whatever you've experienced in life, you have to break agreement with it. Let go of your past. Let go of your past identity. Let go of your past experience. Well, I tried before. Well, hey, cry out again. And he took the garment and he threw it off of him. And he says, I'm coming to Christ. There's a story. I think it was from the one of the Great Awakenings. And they were talking about, this is the day when slavery was still really a lot stronger with the whites and the blacks. And what was happening was there was this preacher came in, preached the gospel. And so there was a white man and a black man. And what happened was he said, the white man said it took him about, once he heard about the gospel, it took him about 3 months for him to fully experience salvation in the sense of fully surrendering God because he was wrestling with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there was another man. And it was only 2 weeks for him, but he was the black slave man, and the white man asked the slave man, and he said, hey, how come it took me so much longer to get to Christ, and it only took you 2 weeks? And he says, because you guys, and I know this might be crazy even to say right now, given the context of our nation, but it's an awesome story, and you get the point. He said, you white men have so much clothing on. And it has so much hindrances on that it takes you longer to take it off so you can run to Christ. We only have this simple loincloth, and it's easy for us to throw it off and run to Christ. Here's the point. How much stuff do you have that's holding you back? And I love what Paul said. He says, Philippians 3, forgetting what is behind, and I'm pressing on towards what's ahead. You know, contextually, he's not talking about his sins. He's actually talking about his trophies. He said, I was the highest form of Pharisee. I was smarter. I was stronger. I was better than all these guys. And he says, I've lost all things for the sake of knowing Christ. God isn't just asking for you to let go of your sinful past. He's also asking you to let go of all the things that put accolades and put strength into you as yourself that make you feel like, oh, I've accomplished this self-made man, the self-made woman. He's asking you actually lay all that down too. All your trophies, all your crowns, all the good things, lay it all down. Because those things can actually turn into hindrances of you pursuing Christ. Are you with me today? Come on, I feel like it, even in this room, it's like we want to get to Christ, but we still got the security blanket on. And there's things that we run to instead of running to Christ. And God's asking us, would you just let that thing go so I can really love you the way you need to be loved? So I can really heal you the way you need to be healed. Are you with me today? The third thing is this. You didn't know I had points, but I secretly was throwing points in there. The first one was initiative, muscle. You got to work that bad boy. Number two is let go of your past. Number three, I'll tell you it in a second. Verse 51, Jesus answered. Come on, can you imagine this? Like you finally run to Jesus and he gets to, and you're like, you're blind, right? So you're like thinking, it's pretty clear what I want. At least to the dude who's got eyes, you know what I'm saying? And he gets to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a billionaire coming up to you and saying, what would you like me to do for you? We all have an answer, but we're not all sure we're about to say that answer, right up front, at least. Because we're like, you know, I know what I want you to do for me. You know, say, like, I got a list. How many of y'all, you know, have hung out and you'd be like, what would you do if you had $1 million right now? And you already got a list in your head. You didn't have to write it down. It's like ingrained up in here. You know, like, I'm buying this thing, I'm buying this. And then some of us have the answer that the pageants say, you know what I would do? World peace. Come on, if the blind man said that, Jesus would have thrown up in his mouth a little bit. You know what I mean? He'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Can you give me a real answer? At least I would have thrown up in my mouth. Maybe Jesus is more righteous than that. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? You have the God of the entire universe asking you, what do you want me to do for you? And I love Jesus' questions because Jesus' questions are different. They're not just so you can have information. Jesus' question is confronting a victim poverty mindset. Every time he asked that question, I mean, this thing was burning in my heart. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He's confronting mindsets in us. Because some of us, we really honestly would probably give the world peace answer. But like, Lord, that all the souls would be saved in America. Like, that's a great answer, but is that really what you want? Because I know that's the right answer. How many of y'all know, when you're in class and you know, the teacher asks a question, you don't want to raise your hand because you're just not sure it's going to be the right answer. You're like, is this a trick question? Jesus. Yes, it's the right one. Okay, you know, like you just think it's going to be Jesus every time. But the reality is, the dude wanted his sight. And Jesus gave him an opportunity to voice what he really wanted. Jesus is giving you an opportunity this morning to voice what you really want. I know the right answer is like the whole world to be saved and everyone to be healed and all the demons to go to hell. You know, I don't know, whatever. Like all of these answers are like the right answers. But can we for a second just drop what we think is the right answer and let God go deep into the caverns of our heart to what we really, really want? Like beyond all the stuff. You with me on this? Like Jesus is asking you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He wants to break some limitations off of our approaching him and approaching life. What do you want me to do for you? Because I got all kinds of resources. I just want $1 million. Why do you want $1 million? So I can help the poor. Like, for reals though? Because probably some of us in the room, that's a real answer, but probably a lot of us is not, if we're just real. And it's actually not selfish to have that not, as not your answer. Be like, well, it's like kind of selfish if I don't like ask for world peace and like salvations and stuff. Well, what do you really want? Are you with me? I don't know if I'm boring you or not, but. What do you want me to do for you? He says, Master, I want to see again. I want to see. And I just believe in this place today that God wants you to be free to ask whatever. This is what Hebrews 4:16 says. It says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, or with confidence. The Greek word for boldness actually means unreserved speech and cheerful courage. If you amplified it and just stretched the word out, unreserved speech. Let me ask you this. How's your prayer life look? And does it look like you're always trying to give him the right prayers? Or you got unreserved speech? Unreserved speech. Like when people on the streets get healed and they don't know how to praise God yet, so they use F words and stuff. Like unreserved speech. I'm not saying you should use those words in prayer, but I'm saying. But what I like about it is they have no religious mindset telling them how they're supposed to thank God. I was at Nate First's house a while ago, and this dude had a like metal in his ankle, and it limited his mobility. And we just prayed for him, and like a matter of 30 seconds, a minute, his mobility was restored. Bam, bam, he's moving his ankle, and he's like, what the beep, beep, beep. It's the highest praise from the lowest point. Come on. But you know, I like that, because that could mean more than us singing 30 minutes of just lip service to God. He wants unreserved speech. How free are you to ask God what you really want? Well, they just keep doing this to me, and so therefore I can't. No. They're not in control of your life. Only you are. You with me, eh?
Yeah, that's good.
All I'm doing today is I'm saying, permission granted. You can actually pursue God with everything you have, pursue dreams with every, and no limitations. When Jesus says, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done, he didn't put any limitations on what you can ask for. He said, whatever. That makes the word whatever a whole lot better. Instead of like, whatever. It's like, no, whatever. Whatever you ask for. Whatever you ask for. And why is Jesus doing this? Because he wants you to have the reins back in your life. He wants you to be back in control, so to speak. You with me? I know we like to say God's in control, and I kind of believe that, but I really actually believe he's more in charge than in control, and parents understand what that is. I'm learning right now. It's like, Dad's in control. Like, well, I mean, when they listen to me. Go to timeout. No! All right, we're taking you to timeout. You know, like, you're in charge, but you're not, like, controlling things. You know what I'm saying? And it's actually way better that way because you actually become a responsible adult instead of someone who needs a miracle every week. Okay, well, that was crazy. That was a little boo. If you need a miracle every week, something should change in your day-to-day life. Change your diet, maybe. Change the way you think about yourself. Like, change some things because miracle to miracle to miracle to miracle isn't the Christian life. Doing miracles for others, Christian life. Miracle you need in your life every day, there's dysfunction that needs to get healed. I'd rather live the blessed life instead of the needing a miracle every 5 days. Jesus said, Ephesians 1:3, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Come on. Impossible to curse, anointed to prosper, empowered to overcome. That's what you mean. That's what it means when you're blessed. Woo! Come on, I feel alive up in this Methodist church today. Come on, this is good. Hallelujah. And it's interesting to me that blind Bartimaeus was blind because the victim mindset blinds you from the opportunity that's around you all the time. And I want you to know this morning, I love you. This isn't to kick you around or something like that, but this is because God wants to work that initiative muscle. He wants you to let go of all those tragedies that you try to take on as your identity. And he actually really, really wants you to ask whatever you wish. Like, what do you want Jesus to do for you? And there's been limitations in people in the way that we've asked God and approached God. We've taken on persecution as an identity. Sometimes we go through stuff, and whether it's because we're a minority and people treat us differently. Well, you know what? It is what it is. You can't control what they do, but you can't control how you respond. And you can't, like, point the finger at everybody else because it's always pointing back at you. Well, they're treating me like this because of the way I look, because of my skin color, because of my economic status, because of the place that I go, because I speak in tongues, you know, whatever it is. Who cares? Oh, that's so much better right there. That's freedom right there. Just say that with me. Who cares? Come on, brush your shoulder, the neighbor off of the on their shoulder. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care. You care? I don't care. You care? I don't know. I'm good. You good? I'm good. I'm good. You good? Joel's good. I'm good. Anyone else good? I'm good. Woo! Come on, let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone hearing God talk to him today? Scattered applause, mixed reviews. I don't care. Who cares? Jesus, I pray for your church this morning. I pray for your really, really blessed people today, God. This whole room is full of a lot of blessed people. And Jesus, I pray for those who have been struggling with asking you for big things. I pray where religion has tried to stuff us down and say, oh, you have to do it the right way in order for God to answer your prayers. God, I pray you break that thing today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray where our past has actually become our identity, we break agreement with it. And even where, you know, where people have persecuted us because of the way we look, because of the color of our skin, etc., that we wouldn't take that on as a badge of, people just do this to me and I got to make it through life. No, God, I thank you that we live above it. You said we're the head and not the tail, coming over and not going under. Jesus, I pray for a fresh breath to pursue you and to pursue the dreams you have for our lives. I feel like some of us even in the room today, there's dreams that have been on the shelf. But God actually, and it's like almost like they're gathering dust, but God wants to just dust the stuff off and give you permission this morning to say, God is backing you. Just what do you want to do? Well, I don't know if it's going to be perfect. If I go, what's cool? He'll do some course corrections on the path. Course corrections are better than sitting and doing nothing on the roadside begging. The Bible said at the end of the story, the same dude who was on the roadside begging got up on the same road and followed Jesus. The place where you've been stuck begging, God can turn it into a place where you pursue Christ. And so Jesus, I pray for your church this morning that there'd be a release and a breakthrough that hits on our mindsets and our mentalities. And God, I thank you that you're equipping us to run, to run, to run, to run. Just like when Israel saw that David defeated Goliath, they ran. They ran, they ran, and they chased the enemy off of their territory. And I believe that's also a word for someone as well, that God is empowering you this morning to chase the enemy off of your territory. The enemy's been occupying your promises. He's been occupying your dreams. He's been occupying all these different things that are supposed to be yours. But today is the day where you chase the enemy off of your promises. You chase the enemy off of your territory. I want you, if you're here in this place and you're saying, you know what, I've actually been really limited and I felt really constricted, and I want you to pray for me. I believe that the breaker anointing is here. Even Annie was breaking into it as she was leading worship. If you're here and you're saying, you know what, there's been this limitation, I felt constricted, I felt limited in the way that I've been approaching God and approaching life, I want you just to put your hands up right now and I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you all over this room this morning. And God, I release the breaker. You said that you would go before us and clear out the path. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the enemy's lies over your people this morning. And I thank you, God, we are not our tragedies. We are not even our accomplishments, but we are in Christ. And Christ is for us. Who can be against us? We release the wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit to come and release life, fresh life, fresh life, fresh life in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that the wind in our sails goes and we pull the anchor up so we can move towards you, God, and move towards the dreams. And God, I thank you for that fresh wind to blow us towards your destiny for us. Just put your hands down for a second. If you're in this place and you haven't accepted Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to him. If you backslid in this place and you're coming to church for some reason, today is your day to give your heart back to Jesus. You can't get to your destiny. You can't get to anything in life unless you have Jesus. That's going to actually have any eternal value. And if you're in this place and you need to give your heart back to Jesus, I'm going to count to three and I want you to lift your hand. And I'm telling you today, God is shifting destiny, but it starts with this moment. I'm going to count to three and I want you to lift your hand. One, two, if you're away from the Lord and you need to give it back to him. Three, lift your hand right now. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give just a little bit more. If you're saying, I need to just surrender my life fully to Jesus today. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. 10 more seconds because we're going to end the service on time. Hallelujah. Yeah. All around this room. Just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died on the cross to give me a brand new start. So I make you my Lord and my Savior. And this day, I break agreement with my past. I break agreement with the enemy's lies. And I run towards my destiny. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe it, give God praise and clap your hands. Come on. Amen. Come on. Are you blessed? Come on. Permission is granted.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Give up your mind.